In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the world, for the health of the church, for the unity of all, for this holy house, for all who worship and praise,
Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may live out your impassioned response to the hungry and the poor. That we may live out truth and justice and grace, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For peace in our hearts, for peace in our homes, for friends and family. For life and for love, for our work and our play, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For your Spirit to guide, that you center our lives in the water and the Word. That you nourish our souls with your body and blood, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of all who look to you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by grace, we may walk in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the lighting of the Advent wreath. Praise to you, O God, who holds our joy and sorrow. You bring water to parched ground and life out of death. Bless us as this light grows and sends sorrow and sighing to flee away. Give us strength and patience, trusting that you are true to your promises. Transform the lives of all who suffer with your wonders near at hand. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our Lord. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. A reading from James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You must also be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has truly arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, our gospel lesson had John the Baptist in the wilderness, offering a bold vision of what is to come in Jesus. John fills us with great expectation of the kind of power and authority that we are going to experience. Jesus is now acting like a sports team that we had high hopes for when the season started, taking way too long to meet those expectations. I've been in Ohio long enough to know that you can identify with this, right? When we thought we had the right player or combination of players and it doesn't work out, the talk of the town is usually, is this player the one? Or are we to wait for another? Now, John has more riding on what he's expecting. Certainly bigger than a national championship, a World Series, a Super Bowl, or a Stanley Cup. When those things go wrong, we wait for next year with hope that recruiting, drafting, or free agency can remedy the situation. John the Baptist is sitting in prison. He has more riding on the expectation on whether Jesus is the Messiah. Last week in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, John the Baptist said, "Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Here we are, Matthew chapter 11. John sitting in prison wondering, is Jesus even taking a swing? What the heck is going on? And I don't think we can blame John the Baptist for wondering, can we? And not just wondering, but waiting. Maybe even actively looking for someone or something else. We can be seduced by the power and influence of the world, and our impatient hearts can call us to turn away from Christ. This year, the World Cup takes place in Qatar. And there have been many concerns about the ethics and corruption surrounding the event. Concerns surrounding treatment of migrant workers, allegations of bribery. There seems to be a great deal of controversy surrounding the event. Maybe it's easier for Americans to just skip it in its entirety, but this is a world sport, right? Not easy enough to say, if you don't like it, just don't watch. And that's certainly not the only example in our lives, right? It's not the only thing in the world where we know that participating in things in our society and in our world, there's explicit and implicit injustices that exist. Yet we feel we have to participate in order to live. We have no choice. What do? We can become blinded to what is really going on or just shrug our shoulders, go along with it, because it seems like Jesus is just taking too long. And our impatience and our lack of allegiance to God's promises enable us and implicate us in placing our faith and trust in the false promises of our world. But we are expected to be like Christ in the world, are we not? And if we find ourselves out in the wilderness or sitting in prison with John the Baptist, when does it seem like Jesus is acting like the Messiah? Is he acting Christ-like that we expect him to behave in our world and in our lives? Montague Williams writes, "As strange as it may sound, John is not sure Jesus is acting in a Christ-like manner. What does it mean to be Christ-like? We often use this term to refer to daily grace-filled interactions of Jesus and how we can reflect them in our own lives and situations. We're not thinking about the equivalence of Christ with Messiah. We would certainly raise an eyebrow if we heard a fellow Christian say, "I want to learn how to respond in a Messiah-like manner to a complicated situation at work." However, John isn't separating Christ-like from Messiah-like. John may have expected Jesus to welcome the excluded, but he did not expect the Messiah himself to become marginalized. Right? There's the rub there. There's the surprise. But in our gospel lesson, Jesus is referring to our first lesson in Isaiah to confirm that he is indeed the one that they'd been expecting. Jesus is being Christ-like. Jesus is being Messiah-like. The very ministry that Jesus speaks of speaks for itself. And that's what he tells John's disciples to go back with him with. And that maybe is that witness to us today. That we should put our faith in what we see God doing in our lives and in the world, and not our faith in our expectations of what God should be doing in our lives and in the world. There is a difference, right? What God is actually doing and what we expect God to be doing. Because our expectations can lead us to a wilderness of inaction and indecision, embodying a passive faith where we are oblivious to God's grace in our lives. And if we're oblivious to God's grace, how are we ever going to respond to God's grace, right? That good news that we hear in our first lesson from Isaiah, that the waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. God is decisive. The life and ministry of Jesus, the vision that we see in Isaiah, that culminates for us on the cross and the empty tomb. And it is that empty tomb that enables us to sing for joy and shout alleluia. But we're not just living our lives sitting in prison or lost in the wilderness. There is hope and joy to be experienced today. In our baptism, we are not lost to the wilderness of our broken world. We are the baptized people of God. And as the church, water springs forth in the world. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us faith, opens our eyes not only to trust in the promise of the empty tomb, but to see what makes Jesus Christ alive and active in our lives and in the world today. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to trust God when life doesn't go as we expect. It is the Holy Spirit that calls us to travel along God's highway, along God's holy way. And we will have moments of doubts and disappointments along the way. You've doubted in your life. You've been disappointed, right? I don't have to have everybody raise their hands. I know it's all of you, right? Things in life haven't gone as they've expected. Yeah, it's going to keep happening. But it's okay. And it's even okay to doubt as John the Baptist is sitting in prison. Notice that John the Baptist isn't condemned when he raised the question if Jesus is the Messiah or are we to wait for another? In fact, Jesus even affirms John's role. We don't go as far to say, like, well, maybe John was the wrong one to be the forerunner here if he's sitting in prison questioning things. No, Jesus affirms. He says, "This is the one whom it is written, 'See, am I sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you? Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'" Jesus gives John the Baptist room to have doubt, question, to grow in his faith. He gives us room to do the same. And that should be comforting good news for all of us. That whenever we have our moments of doubt, when our expectations are not met, God does not leave us. He doesn't leave us there in the wilderness. God doesn't want us to be imprisoned by our allegiances to other things in the world. God is with us. God is with you when life does not go as expected. God is with you when you feel that God is absent. We don't passively go about our world just waiting for God to act. with eyes of faith, we see how God is acting. And we are engaged in this world, trusting in God's promises and pointing to God's streams of justice and restoration that our eyes of faith can see. And we show people how God is showing up in this world, how God is showing up in our lives. And trusting in God's promises, being centered in the Word, we can see the transformation in our communities and the world. And guess what? We're invited to be part of those very transformations in our communities and in the world as the church, as the baptized people of God, as embodying and being those waters of healing and restoration in the wilderness, in the desert. The cross of Christ gives us a highway, a holy way to travel, a way that we know that we can get home. It is a way home to God amid the wilderness. It is a way for us to know that Christ is with us always. God's abiding presence will always be there. And we bear witness to that in the desert, in the wilderness, in the prison. May we bear witness to all people in the world that God is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. Gracious God, we rejoice in the gifts of your Spirit. Equip the global church to magnify your love and peace in every land. We pray for the work of the Lutheran World Federation and ELCA Global Mission. God, in your mercy. God of ministry, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God, in your mercy. Abundant God, we rejoice in your creation. Revive lands we have squandered and depleted. Make gardens flourish in cities and neighborhoods. Cleanse polluted air and water so living things may breathe, drink, and praise you. God, in your mercy. Righteous God, we rejoice in your justice and racism and oppression. Deliver all who are unjustly imprisoned or persecuted. Reconcile nations and peoples in conflict. Help us pray for our enemies. God, in your mercy. Healing God, we rejoice in your compassion. Comfort any in distress because of worry, illness, or loss, especially Justin, Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Joe, Marjorie, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Regina, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Ella, Cheryl, Lucas, John, Cindy, Carol, and our homebound. Strengthen and protect healthcare workers, rescue teams, crisis counselors, and all who risk themselves to keep others safe. God, in your mercy. Abiding God, we rejoice in your company. Give us calm and patient hearts as we gather with family and friends. Keep us mindful of those for whom this season is not happy. Console the grieving and surround them with loving support. God, in your mercy. Faithful God, we rejoice with Mary, Mother of our Lord, and with all the saints that your mercy endures for all generations. Look with favor on those who have died and lead us to joyfully sing of your everlasting promises. God, in your mercy.
God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We continue with the offer.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you make the desert bloom and send springs of water to thirsty ground. Receive these simple gifts of bread, wine, and money, and make us messengers of your mercy and love for all in need of your healing and justice. We ask this through Christ our Savior.
The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
And lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in the death and in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and anyone participating in Children's Church. The distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that'll be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Faithful God, in this meal you have remembered your mercy, bringing heaven to earth in the body and blood of Christ. As we wait for the day when all your promises will be fulfilled, sustain us and strengthen us by this holy mystery. Guide us toward your promised future, coming to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Announcements for the good of the community. Steve?
Yeah, just very briefly, offering envelopes for 2023 are available in the narthex on the table to your right as you exit the church. I arrange them in alphabetical order, at least as far as my Ohio State education will permit. If I didn't make a box out for you and you want one, please let me know. I'd be happy to do that. Conversely, if I made one out and you don't want that, let me know, and I will do as the owner of the Cleveland Indians in the movie Major League suggested when told that among a list of players she invited to spring training was a player who died the previous year. She said, "Well, then, cross him off the list."
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Send in the community to share the love of Jesus. God, the eternal Word, who dwells with us in Jesus and who holds us in grace by the Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.